When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Ah. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Dim all the lights, my name is Keen, and you're listening to Sissy That Pod, your favourite RuPaul's reaction podcast. Troy was not available today, so it's just me and a really fun guest, Tom Hamlet. He is the host of Dumpster Dive Pod, which is a really fun podcast for recapping all of your favourite American reality bits and pieces. So definitely go check it out if you are a Bravo fan or you watch the US Traders, any of that sort of stuff. They do really good recaps of that. Before we get into the episode, if you want to check out the coverage of UK versus the world, you can head over to the premium feed over on headstuffpodcast.com, where for €5 a month, you can get access to all of the UK versus the world recaps that we've been doing. This week, there's an episode up there with season 5 of UK's Banksy, who is so good to have on the podcast, so you can hear the full thing over there right now. Until then, let's get into this week's episode of Season 16, Episode 11, with Tom Hamlet. Tom Hamlet, thank you so much for coming on to Sissy That Pod. How are you keeping and how are you getting into Season 16?
I'm keeping well. Oh my God, I love to hear that the question said that way. I'm just a born American. How am I keeping? I'm keeping great. And I'm loving season 16. I actually really am. And I'm happy to be here. I don't really get to talk Drag Race very often. So thanks for thinking of me. And I'm excited to chat about everything season 16.
No problem. You know, when you say you don't hear people say, how are you keeping, that often, I remember that recently in work, I'm dealing with like some colleagues in India, mm-hmm. and I keep asking them, how's things, which is a very Irish expression that I don't think they're getting, that I need to maybe just pivot to, how are you?
But I think I like it. Like, I think it's like a nice charm. It's refreshing. How are you feels kind of like, we always hear, how are you? How are you keeping?
Yeah.
On my toes. I'm excited to hear it. So,
well, I guess with Indian colleagues, or maybe, you know, there's more, maybe a language barrier or whatever that I might need to simplify.
Yep.
But for you, I'll keep it how you keeping, how's things.
Yeah.
So yeah, you said you're enjoying season 16 so far. Who have you been rooting for?
I love Safira Kristal a lot. Mm-hmm. I find I'm feeling confused because I feel like the show, her edit on the show has been kind of bizarre. I feel like she's sometimes just not in the episodes, but like is performing really well in the episodes. So I don't really understand why that is, but I really like her a lot. Nymphia too, I liked in the beginning a lot, but then in the back half of the season, I feel like she's kind of been disappearing a bit. But then I really came to love our Florida Divas too. They make for good TV.
They do. This has been a strong season for Florida.
What a hilarious thing to say. This has been a strong season for Florida. One of the more polarizing states in the United States of America. It's been a strong season.
From a drag perspective, that's it. We don't know how it's all going to go later on in the year, but for now, strong season.
Yeah.
Where do you land, talking about controversial, where do you land on Plain Jane?
I did not love the, I just, if you're going to say something mean, make it funny. Like that's, I live my life by that motto. Like, and I found in the beginning, it just wasn't funny the way she was coming at Amanda. We're going to talk about it, I'm sure, but she's had a viral moment from this episode that's going all over X and Threads and Instagram and everything about after Q revealed, talked openly about her HIV diagnosis. The plane said, "Thank you for spilling." That made me laugh. That was a shocking kind of way to connect with Q on that. No, the back half, like this, like second half of the season, I think she took the note that she was being kind of a little mean, and she's a bit nicer now. And
I don't know. What about her turning on Dawn at the start of this episode? Like, because Dawn is the one who says, "No, you were in the bottom." I mean, they're all saying bottom three, and she turns on Dawn. And I feel like, although I feel like she was trying to be mean. And she just went for everything just to be mean rather than because she actually thought of it.
She did. She did. Although I kind of think Dawn is actually the villain of the season. She says mean things and it's not funny. And she like instigates constantly.
Yeah, exactly. It's like who we thought the villain was, but who the actual villain
she,
was.
She like single-handedly sent Plasma home by getting into her brain and saying like, "You really shouldn't make that dress." And then she made some god awful low rise jean and went
get
home.
Dawn on the traitors. I mean, I think that's what we need to say.
Yes, I agree. Oh, Plasma. I really, really liked Plasma a lot.
Yeah, I thought I liked
she
it too.
Was really making good TV. And I still think we don't give enough energy to what she said and to Plane in the first episode of Untucked, where she said, "Okay, Mama, you untangle that bracelet from your arm hairs or something."
Yeah. Oh yeah, that really made me
laugh.
Yeah.
That read really made me laugh.
Yeah, no, I think you're right with Safira. She has got like she hasn't got like the Sasha Colby winners at it, but I think she has all the presence and consistency of someone who's going to take it all the way. And Nymphia definitely has had a few quieter weeks this week, but I mean, I guess you can't have everyone performing high all the time, I suppose.
Yeah. I think the two of them will go to the finale, and I think the other two spots are kind of the ones that are more up in the air, assuming it's a top four.
Do you genuinely believe the Plain Jane believes her delusion that she wasn't in the bottom, or do you think she's like kind of knows she's wrong, but she's arguing on a technicality?
I think she knows she's wrong and arguing on a technicality, like. But I have to say it was frustrating. Do you find like an episode last week where no one goes home to be incredibly frustrating, because I'm like, it didn't feel like a justified week for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the storyline of the immunity potion had no payoff.
I totally agree. Yeah, I was giving that a bit last week. I don't like de facto dislike no like double shantays. But like last week, yeah, absolutely. The immunity potion, the whole storyline was undercut. And it just felt like they weren't willing to put Plane and Q in the bottom. So they just pivoted to...
That win.
Yeah, win-win. And that, like, they didn't... because I was saying, fair play, 2 weeks ago, you sent home Plasma. She was a bit of a front runner. That added an element of peril to the season. And then last week, you just undercut it again. And they were like, we're not willing to send someone home. And that's frustrating.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Now I wonder, I'm wondering whether, and I know we're kind of jumping to the end here, but Q and Plain Jane clearly being the kind of best two this week but not getting the win, I'm wondering, are they like, you know, well, look, we saved you from the bottom two last week, so we're not going to give you the win this week. I'm wondering, is that like all part of it?
Maybe, but I actually didn't find them to be the best, to be honest with you. I thought I wasn't lolling. Like, I thought a lot of the jokes were kind of not funny. They just, like, were prepared.
Okay. Now, let's jump all the way. Let's do it all the way back. Okay. I'm going to... Quick question. This is the sponsor question. Can you remember the sponsor for the mini challenge, Spill the Tea?
Oh, my God. The sponsor for the mini challenge, Spill the Tea. It was a Cash App?
Yeah, it was. Okay, I'm interested to know how effective that sponsorship is going. To my knowledge, we don't get Cash App in Ireland or the UK. I don't know how prominent it is in America, but I mean, they're throwing a lot of money at the season, and I want to know whether it was actually paying off. So it seems to be, if you could remember who they are.
Well, Cash App is popular here. I don't use Cash App. It's kind of like one or the other. You're either like your Venmo or Cash App. Like, you're all in on one of them. I don't find that you often use both. Like some queens, when you go to bars in the city, I live in New York. Sometimes when you go out, like you can Venmo instead of like giving dollars. But some queens like only use Cash App. But I mean, I've never downloaded the Cash App app itself. But some people, that is like how they pay rent and stuff. It's on Cash App.
Okay, it's giving Viber versus WhatsApp back in 2008. Do you remember Viber?
See, I don't know what Viber is because I've never used WhatsApp.
Okay, it was basically a messaging service like WhatsApp. I always got the impression Viber was more big in the US. Anyway, no, I don't know. No. There was a Childish Gambino like a song that mentioned Viber.
Oh, really? I would say Viber sounds like a gay adjacent like sexting app.
Yeah. Anyway, WhatsApp ended up winning. That's all. I'm interested to see who will win the Venmo versus Cash App battle of the apps.
I think Venmo. Are you familiar? You're familiar with Venmo.
I'm familiar. We use Revolut over here, but yeah, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So Cash App did, you know, I mean, sponsor the podcast, Cash App, all you want. But yeah, you're getting your product placement this week twice by sponsoring the Spill the Tea mini challenge. I'll run through which queen won each of the different categories, and you can let me know if any of these were surprising in any way. All right, so Nymphia won the most passive-aggressive. Morphine won the most likely to not know a passive-aggressive was. Plain Jane was most likely to be blocked. Saphira won the flirtiest. Dawn won the gassiest. Morphine won the most likely to blame on the edit, which I think is kind of funny since she's the narrator of the season, it feels like. Saphira is the most likely to spend the 200k wisely. Plain Jane is the most likely to blow her 200k on breastplates. The wording of that one felt like it was purposely set up for Plain Jane to get voted for that one. Saphira was the most likely to tip you well, and Plain Jane was the most delusional.
I agree with all of them, I think, but that the blame it on the edit one. I don't think Morphine like would blame it on the edit. I feel like who's going to blame it on the edit is like Dawn.
Plasma's probably not there anymore. Yeah, I could see that. But then Dawn is also like a real narrator.
I know, but I feel like Dawn's going to be like, you guys made me look mean, or like you made me look like nastier than I am, or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. I've got a thing with Dawn, unfortunately.
Okay, tell me. Because Troy loves Dawn, so this is the counterbalance.
Really does?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just find her, I'm here for the aesthetic. Like I love like a spooky drag. I love like an artsy drag. Like I'm down for all types of that. It's not that. It's her like, it's her attitude regarding like the other girls. She just like kind of gives me mean girl vibes. Like she's like popular girl in school. Like I didn't like the click between like Q, her and Amanda when they were like coming for plasma in the early episodes. I don't know. She just gives me like not fun gay to be around at a bar vibes. She doesn't click for me, but I like the aesthetic. Like I thought that blue thing she wore 2 weeks ago that some people were like not totally sold on, I was like, this is what I wish she did more of, this like swung this big.
Yeah,
drag like, really leaned into the aesthetic of like spooky Dawn.
So you're triggered by the can I be honest of it all, like whatever she
that
goes
bothers
about.
Me because it just like say what you mean instead of like working around it. She to me is more passive aggressive because she's like, she says things in just like a tone that's so like, it's similar to Plain's like sister, like that sort of thing.
Yeah. And the little smirk. I don't know. It feels, I hear you. And she definitely like can be brutally honest, but I feel maybe it's fake or not. I don't know. It feels like it's packaged in a better way. And it feels like it's coming from a better place than Plain Jane.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I guess, yes, I do agree with that sometimes. There's something about her delivery, though, that irks me. And I think it's something to do with me, my communication, like, things that bother me about the way people, yeah, communication preferences. Like, I think she would get under my skin if we were, like, at a bar and she was being, like, passive-aggressive like that. Like, to me, she's the passive-aggressive one, not Nymphia, but I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any passive aggression from Nymphia necessarily, but I mean, that's something you probably wouldn't see on TV.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, she was the gassiest though, so I guess, you know, if you're not into farts, so another reason to dislike her.
Yeah, there you go.
Out of 10, what would you rate this maxi challenge?
like a 3.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's just weird. It's just like not... One of the judges made a comment about how bad it was almost when they were like... They said something about like how...
Yeah.
Fortunately, when you have to do a PowerPoint presentation on drag, you'll be able to successfully do it again or something like that.
Like, I think it was like, unfortunately, you'll never have to do this again. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, right. Well, then why are we doing it?
I know.
I wanted to... I don't, because do you think we're going to get a lip sync battle? I don't think we're going to this season.
I think we are. I try to avoid spoilers, but I dive in to work out what episode things are on, and I think there is one coming. That's all I'll say.
Well, we're running out of people.
Running out of people still left in the competition.
No, I know, because next week is not that. Next week is a roast, I believe. Mm-hmm.
So oh, that no, means... next week is a...
No, is, the oh, no, 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 you're right.
You're thinking of UK versus the world. Next week is design a room, which honestly, why are we doing that again? That was awful.
I just want to see lip syncing. I like those episodes. They're fun.
Yeah, but also, so I think this was in lieu of a stand-up / roast challenge, this thing.
This?
Yeah.
No, that makes me sad, because this was not that.
Yeah, this was not that. I would like this was bad. And then the design, like do over room challenge. Obviously, we had Club 96, which was great. But you know, I don't think we've ever, and like they were in the bottom those two that week. Like, I don't think that actually ends up being a good challenge. And then we must have a makeover challenge, and then that's it.
But then where in that do we have the lip sync? You'll have to tell me offline. Your spoiler,
yeah,
I guess.
I'll tell you. I don't want people to know this. People, yeah. Okay, so let's go through it. Q and Plain Jane were up first. You said you didn't actually think this was that good.
So Evan Ross Katz posted on Instagram, I don't know if you saw this, that they like fully pulled the slides and clips joke from the Trixie and Katya tour. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah, if you go to Evan Ross Katz's Instagram, everyone, like, it's one of the more recent posts. They have like back-to-back slides of it. I saw that tour and I remember dying at that joke because it was so funny. And when my partner and I were watching it on Friday, we both were like laughing. And I was like, I feel like I've seen this before. Why is this so familiar to me? And then lo and behold, it's a very funny joke. So I liked that they did it, honestly. But I thought outside of that, that was like their only kind of thing that was funny to me. The rest, they felt like they knew what they were doing. Like everything felt extremely prepared, like I said, but I wasn't having a lot of laughs.
I would have preferred when they were brainstorming and they mentioned like they would have liked to go back to Archimedes talking about the idea of the Inner Saboteur. Something like that would have been better than just, look, you know, I thought some of the names like Barbara Ham, Stinkum were, you know, whatever, kind of funny. But yeah. I think that would have been a more fun thing as fans than to just take famous American figures and give them drag names. A more interesting route to go down.
Yeah, totally. I'm sorry to this woman, but I'm unfortunately, when they put the wig on Abraham Lincoln, it did look exactly like Bianca Del Rio. And I love Bianca. She's like my favorite of all time. When that wig was on Abraham Lincoln, I was like, oh, that's Bianca Del Rio, mama.
But even like the, what is it, Mount Rushmore, and I had all the judges up there. I don't know what the joke with that one was. But look, I kind of agree. Like, I didn't really laugh, but to be honest, I didn't really laugh at any of it. And I think the challenge was overall bad. So because of the slides and because of the clips joke, I did end up laughing and the rest wasn't awful. So I was like, grand. I just wrote overall okay.
Yeah.
What I would not watch that again.
No.
Full stop. Okay. Then Dawn and Maya came out and Dawn seemed to be having some good ideas brainstorming. I wrote down when Dawn said, Maya, do you have any like ideas on how we're going to do like drag in the workplace? And Maya wrote, I don't know, like tell jokes, read and have fun. Which I think should be the new go girl, give us nothing. Like, you know, go girl, tell jokes, read, have fun.
I've never seen someone so unaware of the fact that they're filming a reality television program than Maya Amon LePage. She literally just is like, I loved when, wait, what about when Morphine said they're fighting? Or it was the top of the episode. It was like they're fighting, but no one can hear it or something.
He said they
Or
were like whispering to each other.
It's the quietest fight of all time.
But imagine you're dating Maya and you're like, oh babe, like what do you want to have for dinner tonight? And she'd be like, I don't know, like tastes good, has food in it, and you know, looks
Ooh,
nice.
That's her response to everything. When Rue asked her on like episode one when she how she learned how to flip, she said, well, me and my cousin were flipping and I started flipping.
Origin Snatch Game. I'm just gonna go out there and be crazy.
Just be crazy.
Just be crazy.
I wish I had that calmness to go on to one of the biggest reality television. She has the level of like serenity about her. She's so chill.
Oh, I think it's exterior chill, internal panic.
Yeah.
Panic. What I thought was a missed opportunity here was Maya is obviously the flipping queen. And we all know flipping can be dangerous. Why didn't they do like health and safety of flipping?
Yes, or why did she not do front handsprings out to the stage? She ran onto the stage late. She should have had like all of her note cards in one hand, a mic in the other, and with those done like back handsprings or something. Like,
did she? What
really
was the note
in.
Dropping? Was that purposeful?
I don't get it. I don't think anything was. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think I that once again, not laughing. It's not funny.
Just confused. Like, I think Dawn did a good job as the sort of like, I mean, maybe you'll disagree. Like, as the MC, I thought she had good presence. She seemed very calm and she managed to like take it back from the train wreck that was Maya. But I mean, to be fair to them, they were given this concept of drag in the workplace. It was a rubbish challenge, weird concept. She was forced to be paired up with Maya. It wasn't of her own accord. So I thought she was kind of given a pup, and I think she did the best with it that she could.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about how it could have been better. I think what you were saying before, like, instead of every time you go into a meeting, do a backflip, or like, like thinking about drag in the workplace, like ways to elevate your workplace persona by using drag. Maybe that's the angle that I guess they could have gone. I just didn't understand drag in the workplace the way it went down. But Dawn had to carry that whole thing. So props to her for that.
Well, they interpret it as drag in the workplace in that the workplace is an office. But in my head, when I first heard it, I was like, the workplace is the place where drag queens work, which is the bar. So what is it like to be in the bar? So, like, I don't know, do some sort of insurance, like the things that you have to get insured as a drag queen to get your, you know, I think that you could have made jokes about that.
That's true, I guess. Yeah, I like making jokes about like HR at a bar or something.
Yeah.
Like the HR department at the bar is the bartender or like, yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Think, you know, the Christmas party at the bar. I don't know. Yeah, I think there's more interesting things there than to try like, because they even describe it as, I want to know, like, if I showed up to work, how I would stay safe sitting around a drag queen. And I was like, why would you not be safe?
That's a weird, I know.
Weird phrasing.
Yeah. I think there were funnier things to do if you used the office. And they kind of just went a very bizarre way.
Yeah, I agree. Finally, with Saphira, Nymphia, and Morphine. I had forgotten at this point what the topic was. But anyway, they... Saphira was sort of like the focal point, and then she let her two, her Kelly and Michelle, out to do a bit here and there, and then it came back to her. Did you like this one?
I feel safe when Saphira is on stage. Like, I'm like, she's gonna land the plane regardless, you know. So yeah. I even though the others were like kind of, I thought that Nymphia and Morphine were kind of all over the place, but I thought Saphira kind of kept... Well, I don't remember what theirs was, though. Why am I? You said you forgot it, too. I don't know what their topic was, but I don't think it really matters. I don't think anyone's going to revisit this episode of television.
I mean, Saphira went out there and did her sort of, like, you know, Pledge of Allegiance of that poem about the woman who used the dynamite as... A woman called Phallus who used the dynamite as a phallus.
Yeah.
Blew her... pussy to Oregon or whatever it was. I can't remember the rest of it, but that was like a fun thing to just really like assert her confidence and to like put the room at ease. And then from there, I mean, Nymphia did a kind of pejorative Asian accent and kind of riffed, and that was kind of funny. What other than Morphine slip, like when she had the joke about, you know, your man might have makeup on his collar, and you might be worried about another woman, but he might be the other woman, I thought was also a fun joke.
I agree. I thought that was funny. And I actually didn't mind her being like, I'm flopping. I was like, I would have laughed.
Yeah, I just don't think it was right for the if that was like a solo gig, it would have been okay.
Yeah, and it's not a stand-up gig. Like, it's supposed to be informative. So you saying you're flopping on an informative presentation would be so bizarre. If you were like at work being like, uh-oh, flopping this presentation on a Monday morning, the boots down house, mama.
I don't know. I'd kind of like that, to be honest. And then like they had the bit about, was it becoming a drag queen or like the stages of a drag queen? Because they had like rough makeup or whatever, people with bad makeup at the start, and they showed a mandatory meeting.
Yes, I did like that. I thought that was funny. I liked that they were able to get those photos from production.
Oh yeah, the signs of a drag queen was that they're a liar and that they are always late. Sorry, they're the two things.
Yes.
But yeah, grand, whatever. Filled some time. Overall bad challenge. I'm trying to think of the most recent challenge that was this bad.
I'm trying to sometimes with Drag Race, because we have so many of them, so many different franchises and things happening, and you like me also watch a lot of them, my brain like kind of forgets the non challenges. Like the new challenges. Like we all remember the Rusicles and the Snatch Games, but no, what was one like last
year? Oh, Joe, with the girl group challenge this year was pretty bad, where they had to do the RuPaul song and they just, none of them
that
were
one was weird. I also thought this season's doll challenge was bizarre. I really think that was as successful as it could have been for some reason.
They also haven't had like an acting challenge, which
I know, but I think it's because the writer's strike, which I'm actually okay with for now, because sometimes those acting challenges are tough stuff. But they filmed this all during the writer's strike, so they didn't have any writers.
But so, yeah, we were discussing that, but I would have thought it would have been written by the writer's strike, no?
I don't know. I don't know that, because they film in when, like June?
Yeah.
When does the strike happen? At the beginning of June. It might have happened like during filming. Because Barbie and Oppenheimer came out that first weekend of June, and during press, that was when they had to not do press for those movies because of it. So it must have been like right when they were preparing everything for the season, and maybe this challenge was one that wasn't even supposed to be a challenge, and they were like, we can't do this acting challenge because it's half done, so let's just.
But the Rusical was written. I don't know. Maybe like it was struck work.
I think the Rusical was. I don't think Leland is a member of the WGA. Yeah. I think they just wrote a musical because there was no like real talking in it. So I think that that's probably how they were able to skirt around the Rusical premise.
I mean, somebody DM'd me when we discussed this in the past to say that the writers aren't union. I don't know where they got this information from, so I don't know if that's true or not. But I mean, it might make sense. But then there's also like there's no stand up. There maybe is no makeover. I don't know. There's just been a weird run of challenges this season that I don't really understand.
I agree. But I do like the doing three different like make your own dress challenges, because I like fashion challenges on Drag Race.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Okay, we're gonna go back to 1980 on the runway after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Lawrence Cheney, and this is Sissy That Pod.
The category was Flashback DragCon 1980. Ru came out in quite a different silhouette for Ru. We haven't seen Ru in this.
I liked this.
In a while. Yeah.
I thought this was fun. I feel like she's having more fun with the runway. Her and Zaldi are coming up with more, like, swinging bigger when it comes to runway. Yeah. Don't you think? And I
like
that.
So she makes a reference that she used a different arm for the best woman win. Did she need to keep the dress down with the other arm?
I'm looking at the dress now. Oh, I wonder why. Yeah, I'm looking at it. That is confusing. I didn't think about I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because she usually does her... It's this arm, right? That she's usually like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was strange. And then Joel Kim Booster, guest judge.
Deeply hot.
Man. Yeah, beautiful man.
I love the suit with the leather straps and stuff.
Yeah.
Top.
Yeah, it was great. Okay, first up was Plain Jane, who gave us this pants suit with these sort of like chromatic oil slick pattern across it, with these even sort of like exposed pockets. Mm-hmm. And then kind of just like a black sort of beehive wig with a pink stripe through it. Was this giving for you?
It's honestly not giving, and I like a lot of what she does on the runway. I like nearly everything she does on the runway. This feels a bit like a Michelle Visage season 3 runway judging panel outfit. Does it not? Like the hair and the multicolored top. I don't know. I like the details. I like the brooch a lot. She has a brooch, which is so 80s, and the choker, but... And I do kind of like the hair. I just think I am not a big fan of this print with all like the black parts of the print. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think the shape gets kind of lost. And she says it's a different look for her in that it's not a gown. But I think she wears a lot of these, like even in the main challenge, she wore this quite nice kind of like violet purple, just like pop girl outfit with like a great tuck and like curved and swerved. Yeah, bum. You know, the bum is out. She looks great. So I think like this like trouser silhouette actually isn't that weird for her. Okay, she has like a bit of a pointed shoulder, but it wasn't that different for her. And I actually think I preferred what she wore in the challenge.
I agree. The challenge, the purple looked really good on her. She doesn't wear that color a lot, and I think that was really good color.
Yeah. Okay, next up was Q, who gave us Keith Haring inspired power suit again, with broader shoulders and pointier this time, with where the lapel and the collar are worked into the AIDS red ribbon look, which then came down to a bow in the back and trailed down as a sort of like double train. And then she had black polka dot tights with red pump shoes. Mm-hmm. And a real kind of like 80s. What's the man in the fortune teller from Big? That was the hair I was getting from this.
Yeah.
Zorros or whatever it is. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Did you like this? The hair is the one misstep for me on this.
Okay.
The dress is absolutely stunning, and I'm obsessed with the tights. They're so Big Business. Have you seen Big Business?
I know.
It's very Big Business.
And that is 1980 as well, I think. That is like it is. Actually,
And... the Keith Haring of it all, love it, tees up perfect with her storyline for this episode, which I don't know how that all came about, but I tip my hat to the reality TV producers for tying that up for her together. But this look is amazing, and I love that she's talking about everything that's going on with her, and we support her journey with that. But the only thing is, like, the hair for me, it just doesn't match the outfit.
I think she brings it up herself, or at least is prompted to, because she's talking about the look is a nod to the AIDS in the 80s, you know, the AIDS pandemic.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm dealing with. It was nice because, you know, it's not nice news to hear, but like the vulnerability is important, and it's important to get the message out there for people. Mm-hmm. And I think it was done in an important way. And obviously Plain Jane said thanks for spilling afterwards. It was good to see the Queens give it the significance it has, and like this is obviously a story that will go on and, you know, last in the queer community for a long time, and to have it from Angina in episode 1 and it's still, you know, affecting people season 16, like, you know,
it's cool to see how the conversation has changed through the history of Drag Race about people speaking on revealing their status of being HIV positive, because in the beginning, like, almost like a darker reveal, because we have so much more information, and technology and science has improved to help people live their fullest life with these diagnoses. And it's cool to see how the culture has changed around that since 2005, when the show started.
Yeah, and also like you in Untucked, Q's husband comes on the show, and you know, Q clarifies that he works with people with HIV and other sort of like illnesses as well. And yeah, it was nice to see a sort of contemporary framing of the HIV experience.
Yeah, I totally agree. People. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So it did kind of feel like her episode, which we'll guess discuss more when it gets to the winning. But she looked great, bar the hair, like you said. And again, I think I preferred her hair in the challenge as well. It was kind of like blonde.
Kind of yeah, I agree. I feel like a lot of the recap podcasts and a lot of people are talking about how she has weird hair choices. Like she's bald or has like she likes to do little curls, and I don't know, the hair for me is always kind of like where we go awry with Q, because her drag is unbelievable, truly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think she really looked like Trinity the Duck this week as well in the face.
I see that. I definitely see that.
Okay, next up was Dawn, who wore this kind of pink, kind of like distressed, curly mullet mohawk thing coming out of a face bikini over a sort of suspended chap with high heels, a like electric blue leotard, distressed fishnet tights on the legs and the arms. Michelle said it wasn't very 80s. Rue said it was very 80s. It was Zig Sputnik sort of punk rock look. Where did you land on it?
I'm obsessed with this.
Okay.
I love it. Is it 80s? I don't really know. I'm going to follow Rue's lead on that. To me, it feels a little more 90s than 80s, I guess. Like 90s to me is the grunge punk, but I think it's cunt.
Like all the fishnets and the layering of all the like gives very like 80s Madonna in a way.
That's true, yeah.
Like Desperately Seeking Susan kind of Madonna, but then is over the top with the face bikini. And
I'm obsessed with the boots. The boots are hung onto her by her. I'm looking at the photo right now. If you zoom in, like the boots are hanging on her by her shoulders.
Yeah.
Like there's a
But she's strap. Done a few things like that before. Like when she did the design challenge, when she did her sort of like chandelier look and stuff. That seems to be her thing, all right.
Yeah, she does. You're right. She has an eye for like kind of like weird construction. But then also her body is amazing. Like the way this bodysuit fits on her underneath all of it, I mean, I'm obsessed with this. I think this is, and she serves it on the runway. She like takes her time walking with it. I really liked this a lot.
I liked it too. I would have liked more if we got more of the nymph character from it personally. Like I would have liked, this doesn't feel like it's one of her other characters at a, I don't know, a punk rock gig. It just kind of feels like it's just Dawn at a punk rock gig. But I don't know. Maybe that's too fussy. And then also the pedant in me was thinking, you know, if this is supposed to be flashback 1980, any of these things that came into vogue during the 1980s hasn't happened yet. But I was like, Keen, put that to bed. That's not in the spirit of the challenge.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I do have to agree with you there, but yeah.
Okay, Maya was up next. I struggled to name this color green. Can you do better than me? It's not emerald. It's not aquamarine. It's like just like a royal green.
Is it? It's like it is kind of aqua, but it's kind of. It's definitely not. No, I don't think it's royal green. Like, I think in my mind, royal green is more like emerald.
Listen, I'm looking at the shoulder pieces, but maybe they're just a different color. I don't know. It's glittery. It's shiny. It's basically sort of like a latex cat suit with gloves up above the elbow, a big black, back combed do, and then a cape around the waist and black. Yeah, she absolutely loses direction with the shoes.
Well, sure. There's a lot. The more I like this, I'm kind of obsessed with that she looks, because they talked about how she needed to like cinch a little bit, because she doesn't have like a corset on. She kind of just looks like a kid playing dress up a little bit. I don't know. Like, it's like, what is this? It looks like a sheet wrapped around her waist, but I also kind of just like love it. And I actually do. I do like the wig, actually.
Yeah, me too.
The wig I live for. And I actually think if Q had worn a wig of this size and stature, her look would have been a little more like 80s moment to me. But the look, this look itself is, it's kind of a mess, but I do find it kind of funny.
It's kind of like disco meets superhero.
It's more superhero than anything. Like, yeah.
It's mostly superhero.
It's like a superhero went to a disco.
With disco hair. That's it. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. But disco is not 80s.
But then, like, disco ended, you know, disco demolition was 79. So this was probably more 1980 than dawn.
That's true. You're right.
But yeah, that's two.
The shoes are crazy. I did not notice the shoes until looking at them now.
Yeah, they're what, like an ankle-high heeled leather boot.
I would struggle in the shoe department, like if I was a drag queen, because I never know how to style. Like, for instance, this bodysuit just cuts right at the ankle. Like, what do you wear? Like, in my mind, I would just always probably go to like a boot because it covers more territory for the illusion of it all. But like, I feel like a pump is so hard to rock and make it look successful.
I mean, well, up next is Safira, and she is rocking pumps in her black 80s prom gown with white lapels and white buttons, and she's styled that with white pumps and a silver sort of sparkling necklace and a brown back do with some clips in it. So she makes it work, but I guess that is the 80s sort of like prim and proper prom.
Now, the pumps definitely work on this. Now, I'm about to blow your mind with something. This is obviously not... We did not plan this episode, me coming on here in this moment. This gown is made by one of my best friends.
Oh, really?
Yes. So my old roommate, Gerald, is a designer went to fashion school and works in fashion, but is a designer for drag queens and a drag queen themselves. You can follow Gerald at Fashion Trash on Instagram. They're tagged in all of Safira's stuff, but Gerald did this dress as well as the Dr. Evil dress that she wore.
Nice.
But yeah, like I knew that she had done a couple things for Safira going into this season, but I didn't know what they were. And this is incredibly successful. It looks so pretty.
Fortunately, I like it because it could have been poorly if I hated it.
That would have been really awkward.
If we had the full conversation and you're like, oh yeah, Maya's dress, well, my friend made it, then I'd be like, oh dear.
Yeah, right, but no. Right. No, that would have been, I think I may have just not said that I knew the person who made the dress, or I would have given them shit. No, this is amazing. And they do a lot of like similar silhouettes to this, like kind of like old Hollywood. Not, this isn't old Hollywood, but there's like a classic silhouette to it, you know? It's a very... like it's a style, so
yeah, there's a chicness that is similar to old Hollywood, like, and the black and white, like the classic colors, you know.
Yeah, kind of like soap opera-y. 80s style. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I like how Safira styled it too. The hair is a really good touch. It's that like Whitney Houston I want to dance with somebody hair.
It's very Whitney Houston. Absolutely. Morphine was next with... This was also, you know, Dolly Parton, I felt, you know, in this kind of like shiny pink top and skirt. The skirt has kind of like gem tassels kind of around the trim. She's wearing a very similar necklace to Safira with this kind of like silver shiny necklace, red lip. And then there was drama with the wig. She couldn't get the wig she wanted, so she was wearing somebody else's wig, and she kind of backcombed the fringe, but it kind of drooped on her head. And the mug is, you know, the mug is always mugging. So that was great.
Her face is crazy. I don't know how she does what she does.
And the glitter on her face this week was amazing.
I know, but in glitter on... like, body glitter can go awry, and it can look kind of like... But everyone in middle school used body lotion with like glitter in it, you know, but like she does this body glitter in a way where you almost don't really notice it until you're like, wait, she's shining like in a shimmery. She looks plastic almost, like, because there's this shimmer to her. It's really, really successful. The hair is tough. And the look, I don't really love it, to be honest, but I love her. I just don't know, like, why do the ass cheeks have to be out? Like, I'm not like against it. I'm like, show your body, work, do whatever you want to do. But I don't know. There's a level of it that's like, I just don't.
Ass reveals don't have the power that they once had. And...
No, unfortunately. Yeah. Sorry to this ass.
I'm sorry to this ass. Look, no, not losing marks, but you don't get any marks. for it, I don't think. Anymore.
Right. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, there you go. Okay. I mean, and she's also done a lot of ass work this season. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. It's not surprising. Actually, it would have been more surprising had she kept her ass in.
Agreed.
Finally, was Nymphia, who gave us an ode to Grace Jones's vamp movie. It has Keith Haring inspired sort of tribal white paint coming up all up the dress, up to sort of a cutout around the crotch and around the breasts, with these conical springs that are coming out of both of them. And then there's kind of a bolero which stops below above the nipples. It goes all the way down the arm in the same pattern. And then there's a red wig with, again, a spring in there. People, Irish and British audience members will, when I see the thing on her head, you're familiar with the idea of a Christmas cracker, are you, Tom?
No.
At Christmas, so it's this thing at Christmas where it'd be like
this
made
thing
of paper.
You pull apart?
Yeah, and there's gifts in it.
Yes,
and
yes.
A staple in Irish households is an egg cup that's made of the spring material like that. So that's what I think of when I see it. There's like an egg cup made out of that. I can send you a picture. But anyway, All that to say, she looked great. And this is a great
I think, the best of the week. I love this. I just think it's really creative. Like, obviously, I love Safira's and I have some bias there, but this to me is like a really, I just like when they take, they one, do something that they know, you know, RuPaul is going to love a Grace Jones reference. And I just think it's really creative. I really, really think this is a big win for her. And I like the spiral on the crotch too.
Yeah, I think that's in the original, but I don't think there was a cutout, if I can remember.
No. I don't think it was a cutout, but I just think it's a cool, I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah,
and if you don't know the reference and you look up the vamp like reference, she's done such a good job of making it similar but also kind of her own, you know? This is something in my mind that I want to see Detox in.
Yes, Detox could do great in this.
Right? She would look amazing in this outfit.
The Grace Jones look has more, it's kind of like almost white face whatever in it, so but she's like managed to tone it down and put more sort of contour and stuff on it, which works well.
Yeah, agreed.
So that is the runway. So who at this point did you think Q had it in the bag?
I thought she did, because the storyline, she did pretty good in the challenge and her outfit was amazing.
Yeah, and you know, we see that Plain Jane says, oh, actually, that slide and clip joke was actually Q's idea. So I was like, okay, well, she's getting the credit for the big laugh. And right. She's had her, you know, so I definitely thought it was her. Did you think Safira deserved the win? I said, I've just sent you a DM of the spring egg cup that you can look at your own leisure.
It does look exactly like that. Yeah, you're right.
Did you think Safira deserved the win?
I thought she did a great job. I think they tried to make something out of her stumbling than it was. That was so weird. She just like stumbled on her words for a second, but like she wasn't like, you weren't nervous about it. If they add enough music behind a stumble, like clunky reality TV music and a confessional referencing it, like they can make you believe anything was like actually bad. But I don't think it was bad. She was like leading her group and I thought she connected. This is why she won. I just kind of like realized it in my head. I think she was the only one that really connected with the audience at all.
Yeah,
she was like willing to talk to them, which the point of the whole thing was to teach them something. And Q was focused on just like hitting the punchlines that were like mostly not funny.
Yeah, it was more kind of rehearsed, I suppose, where you didn't bring the audience in. Yeah, I hear that. I was also wondering whether the Q and Plain Jane was so rehearsed that it felt like, you know, it was a joint performance, whereas it kind of watered down both of their input, whereas it was so clear that Safira had her moment on her own, that it was clear to see what her contribution was, that she, you know, maybe that was it. She was good compared to her teammates, which is kind of an unfair way to compare it, but unfortunately, like, that's your experience in the moment can just be basically, you know, what you see.
Yeah.
So Safira is announced as the winner, and Q is pissed.
She's always so pressed about everything. She's always got something to say in the back line of the stage. It's not the first time that they've had her acting up back there.
No. And like the scowls she was throwing Saphira in the back as well. Like it's up there with Jan's face crack.
It is, you're right. It is very similar too. But I don't know with Q. I'm like, girl, Jan didn't have any wins. So like she had a reason to be upset a little bit more. Q has 3 wins, I think, right? 2 wins?
Two. Yeah.
Like she's doing very well in the competition. I don't think this needed to be her win.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And like I think she was like it would have been nice for her to get a win that wasn't a design challenge because she is really good at improv and stuff like that. But yeah, it was kind of funny. I know, I was kind of living for it.
Same. You should snub her every time because it makes her good TV, which I think they probably realize too.
Yeah, I think so too. And since she, like you said, since she already had the win, and I genuinely think this is the legacy of Jan on the show. Like, I know there's always been the queen who had a should have win-itis, but now they've always had a queen who theater leaning queen who throws a strop into that win, whether it's Jan or Rose or Lucy or Q.
Okay, well, are you ready for my next connection? I went to college with Jan and Lucy.
Oh, right. Oh.
So I know them very well. Both. Connected. Know them both very well. And we can talk more about that off the podcast.
Yeah.
One of them I'm very close with. One of them I'm not, but I won't reveal here. So
okay. You can send your guesses at SissyThatPod on Instagram. We'll do a poll. Who do you think Tom likes? Right. So on the other side, it was Morphine versus Maya. I imagine you didn't have an issue with this.
No. I said this made sense. And it's also fun. I'm sorry. Seeing the two of them lip sync is really fun. They make good TV together.
Yeah. Yeah. Gloria Estefan would have been delighted with this Miami representation on the main stage. I was worried that they were going to put Dawn on the bottom, and I really think that wouldn't have been fair because I think she did the best with what she was given. Mm-hmm. So I was happy. So Maya versus Morphine performed Dim All the Lights by Donna Summer. Amazing song. And actually, wonderful. You know, aesthetically, Maya was suiting the tone of this song, you know, maybe slightly better than Morphine. But talk to me about Cape Gate. Is this a fair? Is this a legal move in lip syncology?
I think it's fierce. Like, she's not, like, pushing her over or, like, picking her up a la Mimi, I'm first. She's just, like, doing a casual look at... She's just being like, bitch, look at me. Like, this is very... It's very ballroom. And like, to be in, like, a battle and to be a little shady about the way you're battling. She's like, it's me. You should be looking at not Morphine. So I kind of die for it.
I don't know. I kind of feel like because Morphine was in the position that she was in the back bend, I think that I was like, that could have knocked her over.
That's true, I guess. But she's a professional. I think she could have like recovered from that. I don't know. I kind of die for it, but I see what you mean. We got to keep our queen safe.
We did keep our queen safe. I mean, it ended up being well because Morphine could turn it into such a serve by like lifting it up and like giving us some Paso Doble cape and then throwing it off the stage. And then as revenge, she throws a breast at her. Like, then it got a bit messy.
That was, I did cackle though when she was like, I don't have much, but I have these chicken cutlets I can throw at you.
And then Maya's like, oh, she can't just throw a breast at me, and took her glove off and threw the glove. Like, it all got a bit messy.
But they're both professionals and like really know how to perform a song. If all they were doing was just throwing things at each other, to me, it would have been like, this is weird. But they both were performing down. So I kind of just like, I liked it.
Yeah, it was definitely different and funny. And we got that slow motion moment and Ross Matthews' shocked face, which was all very funny. And imagine if you're watching this in a bar, it would have went off.
Oh, I know. I haven't done that at all this season. Do you like to watch it out? And then do you watch it like again for the podcast?
Well, you see, we can't because it airs in the morning here.
Oh, that's true. We don't.
So for UK, there's a bit of more bar culture, but not for US, which is frustrating.
Yeah. Well, see, even here they do UK viewing parties like nights after it's aired. Like, they'll re-air it for people. Like, don't subscribe to WoW. You can go to a bar, watch it.
Yeah, okay, that's good to know. I also meant to say, for some reason during Maya's main, like, maxi challenge, Chachi took her shoes off.
The shoes, I meant to bring that up. That was so confusing to me. But they didn't show why she took them off. She was barefoot all the time.
Yeah, it was very strange. So anyway, Morphine wins the lip sync. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think if it was a standalone lip sync, like, to forget the track record behind what has happened this season, it could have maybe gone either way. But I think after four lip syncs, like, you're just going to be lip syncing all the way till the end, which was not something they do on the show. It doesn't make for that interesting of TV. So I think it was minus time to go.
I think if we hadn't seen the flips already and the headstand already, Maya probably would have won.
She's running out of things to do to make it interesting, you know?
Yeah.
But regardless,
which is only natural.
Oh, totally. She's also unbelievable. I think she's one of the best to do. Like, she really is a lip sync assassin. And I love that I really appreciate when queens, like, understand music too. Like, you can tell she just gets how to sell a song. She's not just, like, doing flips at the drop of a hat because she knows it'll get, like, a reaction.
Yeah, exactly. No, she's great. And I think they've, I don't know if they're keeping the lip sync assassin format for All Stars, but if they were, she'd be a great one because she could just come in, do the flips.
And win.
And win. Yeah, exactly. All right. Okay. So that means Maya has left us. There's six queens left. And that means I get to ask you, Tom, who is going to win?
Oh, wow. I don't know. This is one of the biggest. This is like a season. This is the first season in a while where it feels like you really don't know. But I think Nymphia still has, like, the winner's clean edit. She's going to have a really successful last couple weeks into the finale and then sweep the finale.
Do you think Dawn will get to the final four?
I could see it. I could see it being Dawn. I could see there being a weird Q upset where she misses out on the finale because of, like, lip syncing abilities, or like, that's the thing about her, is she is unbelievable at drag. Like, I want to watch her on the runway every week, but she's gonna have to get past a lip sync, like, if she is in the bottom,
Jinx Monsoon didn't, so I mean, you can make yourself, yeah,
but that's true, but they let Jinx Monsoon lip sync to that
that whack song, honestly. Just, where do they pull that from?
Right but yeah, I don't know. I don't wish that on Q because I think she deserves to be in the finale, but it'd be make for fun TV if there was, like, a crazy upset. I just don't see Plain not being in the finale, to be honest.
Me too. For sure. Plain, Saphira, and Nymphia are definitely there. So it's between Dawn. I agree with you. It's between Dawn and Q, and to be honest, I think Dawn's kind of too far behind, but I guess we'll see. Tell us about Dumpster Dive. What are you covering at the moment?
Yeah, Dumpster Dive is my podcast I do with my sister as well. Not my plain Jane
sister.
Not my plain Jane sister. My actual sister in real life, and we cover a lot of different things. We talk about what we're watching currently on television. It's all reality TV, so we've been chatting about Love Is Blind, Traitors, and lots of different Bravo shows. And then we also go back into the kind of, like, old reality TV pantheon and watch episodes of some old shows that we love. Troy was on the podcast a bit ago and we covered an old episode of America's Next Top Model. That was really fun. And we got to get you on the podcast too soon.
I would love to. That'd be great. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Until then, check out the podcast over at sissy.pod, at sissy.pod on Instagram, or you can email us at sissy.pod@gmail.com. Haven't plugged the email in a while. Have a lovely week, and I shall see you. Love you. Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Thank you.